Well, good morning. It's a beautiful morning out there. And we thank the Lord, and aren't we privileged to be here? We could be sitting at home all mad at the world and kind of humped up in our self-righteousness and thinking, well, I ain't going to church. But the Lord has given us the mind to be here this morning, and I am very thankful for that myself. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now that is quite an amazing verse. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Well, we know that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is that new lump. We know that we are pure and holy and perfected in Him who is our perfection. For of God the Father are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that he that glorieth, that no flesh should glory in his presence, that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So Christ Jesus Himself is our wisdom. He's our perfect righteousness. We're holy in the eyes of God in His holiness. Not anything we do, think, feel, or anything else about us, but what we are in Christ Jesus. And he says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Well, how do you go about purging out the old leaven? That'd be a good question, wouldn't it? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and read some here in beginning at verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that's a definite statement. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we do not challenge our conscience, if we walk according to that which our conscience allows, which the Holy Spirit testifies to us is right, if we walk in the light, in other words, if we walk in the gospel truth, if we walk resting in the Lord Jesus Christ every moment of every hour of every day, whether we're conscious of it or whether we're unconscious of it, that if we're resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're walking in the Spirit. All right, let's go on. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, even if I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Well, how do we know we have the love? Have we the Spirit? We know we have the Spirit of God because we are taught of God and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're taught of God the Spirit. And that causes us to believe on, rest in, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now, did we do that ourselves in our own power? No. No, that's the work of the Spirit in us. It's not something that we are able to do. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, look back at Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Begin our reading at verse 14. Now the Apostle Paul was a man just like us. He had the same experiences, the same conflicts, the same internal warfare that we experience day by day, he experienced as he lived in this world. And here's what he had to say about it. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. We sold out in Adam. Sold under sin. This old man, the fleshly man. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. I do not live in perfect conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, although I would. And I hate it that I don't, but I don't. If then I do that I would not, I consent to the law that it is good, because the law command me to do what I can't. Now then, it is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, and who of us can't say that? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, look at 1 John. 1 John. And let's begin reading in chapter 1 at verse 5. Now, seeing that we're in this awful conflict, we're in a warfare. We are the church militant. We wrestle and we fight against principalities and against powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against internal sin, against the lust of the flesh, against all these things, against the world. We are called into this conflict and against evil doctrine. Look here what the Apostle John says. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light. Now, what is it to walk in darkness? It is to walk in opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To declare that I have something to do in myself with my salvation. That's walking in darkness.
Yes, it is.
That's pure darkness. But if we walk in the light, that is to admit that the Lord Jesus Christ is our total and complete Savior, and that our doings have, our feelings, our aspirations, even our desires have nothing to do with it, but we are saved completely by the blood of Jesus Christ himself without any participation on our part. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Well, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. And we have fellowship with the assembly of God. And you can't have fellowship with the assembly of God and not have fellowship with God. If we have fellowship with God, we'll have fellowship with the assembly of God. Now, it may not be that which calls itself the assembly of God, because there's lots of people that call themselves of the assembly of God who do not fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They fellowship in another gospel about another Jesus who wants to save everybody, and a God who loves everybody, and all such foolishness as that. And we can't have fellowship with them. Your fellowship won't last as long as a gnat's life for them. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, does what? Cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we don't have any sinward principles, no indwelling member of sin, if we say that we're not sinners in our nature, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. Look at 1 John 2:2. For he is, for that is Jesus. Well, let me read verse 1. Little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, and we will, we know that we will. We wouldn't, we don't want to, but we will. Because we have a sin nature in us. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation. He is the satisfaction for our sins.
Amen.
He it is that puts sin away from us as far as the east is from the west. Mm-hmm. He it is that casts our sin into the sea of forgetfulness forever, never to be remembered more, and tosses them behind the back of God. He has separated us from our sins forever.
Amen.
By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Not him with our help. We are not the co-authors of our salvation. Salvation absolutely is not a cooperative effort between men and God. Salvation is of the Lord, totally, absolutely, completely, and our doings has nothing to do with it. The Lord Jesus Christ died at Calvary to put away sin, and he got the job done.
Amen.
He made an end of sin. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world of God's elect. And that's not stretching the scripture. I can prove that by turning to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and reading where he says, and they, that is the children of God, being the children of the covenant, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Because he was slain.
Amen.
He's the mediator. He's the surety. He died in the place of God's elect. And was slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, not just the Jews only. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Well, how will we do that? Well, we walk in the Spirit. Will we be able to walk in the Spirit perfectly? No, it's the Spirit that keeps us walking in the Spirit. Are we going to stumble? Yes, if we say we have no sin. But on the other hand, we're dead with Christ. We were executed as condemned felons at Calvary over 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
In the body, vicariously, we were executed in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were put to death, and therefore we are dead with Christ, dead to the law, and dead to sin. So where there's no law, we being dead to the law, how can we transgress the law? Dead men can't transgress the law. Executed felons cannot transgress the law. The fact is, in God's reckoning, we've already been executed and cannot be executed again. And because our sins have been put away in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're perfectly righteous, perfectly holy in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Purge out therefore the old leaven. Walk in this truth, in this faith, in this knowledge, in this joy that I am justified in the eyes of God by the blood alone of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified simply by His blood. And we cannot be too simple or too singular in our view of that. We are justified by His blood.
Amen.
Was the blood shed? Yep, it was shed. Did it accomplish all that God intended for it to accomplish? Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He shall not fail. He got the job done. He put away our sin. Therefore, we're without sin. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Look at this. As you are unleavened. Look over chapter 10. Chapter 10. Verse 17. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Here's an example. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Well, do we eat the bread of life when we are given to rejoice in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in His finished work? Then we are eating that bread from heaven. We are eating the flesh and drinking the blood. We are taking life and nourishment from our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are one bread with Him.
Amen.
We're of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. We being many are one bread. Now that's a simple statement. Well, what bread? It's the bread of life. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the bread of life.
Amen.
There's only one bread of life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says right here, and we being many members of one body are one bread.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4. Look at this. Oh my goodness. There is one body. Just one body. And all of the members of that body are of that one bread. There's one body and one spirit. And what does the spirit do? He teaches us that we're of the body of Christ. He teaches us that we are the children of God, the children of the covenant, the children of promise, that God is our Father, that our elder brother is the Lord Jesus Christ, that both He that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, that we are not of this world, but we're of God. There's one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now there's no ifs, ands, or maybes. Christ Jesus was crucified. He died on that cross, He was buried, and He rose again, and God declared by His resurrection that He is completely satisfied for Christ and all who were in Christ by His finished work for them. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. Verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it with an oath. Well, who are the heirs? They are they who receive the gifts. What gifts? Repentance and faith. They're the gifts of God. He calls it is He who gives us repentance, shows us what we are, shows us what miserable bums we are in ourselves, and gives us repentance, changes our mind from all that religious foolishness we had before, and causes us to cling to Christ alone. And then He gives us faith. Well, not and then, but He at the same time, He gives us faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs. Heirs don't become heirs by anything they do. They become heirs by being born, by something that happens to them in the power of somebody else. We're born by the Spirit. According to the promise, let me start over again. Wherein God, willing more abundantly, showing to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it with an oath, but by two immutable things in which it was God, which was impossible for God to lie, that we should have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in into that within the veil, wherein the forerunner is for us entered. Wherein the forerunner. Now, as sure as He's entered, all who are His will be brought in with Him. Well, actually, in His person, we've all come in. Representatively. Wherein the forerunner is for us entered in, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 5:7. Ye are unleavened. The church of God, regardless what the church of God feels like, regardless how insignificant we feel or think or whatever, everyone who is washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is cleansed from their sins. We are unleavened. Leaven always represents evil, sinfulness, evil doctrine. And it never stands for anything good. We are unleavened. Now look here, and here's the reason. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's why. We're unleavened because Christ did all the Father commanded Him to do. All He agreed with the Father to do. He saved us. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Well, let's go by Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, and stop here for just a minute, and then I'll finish up in chapter 10. And let's begin reading at verse 24. 9:24, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Look here. For us. Believers, the family of God. Nor yet that he should offer himself off as a high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now he put away even our sin nature as far as being accounted against us in the reckoning of God. God won't even impute our sin nature to us. Why is that? Because we're dead. We're crucified with Christ. We're dead with Christ. God doesn't even account that as against us. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't count what we are in ourselves against us, because we're not in ourselves. We're in Christ Jesus. One more place, and I'll quit. Hebrews 10. Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified. By what will? The will of God. Not a temporary will, not a will that comes and goes and varies, but by an eternal will, because He is eternal, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. It's that simple. We're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And that's all. Not what we do about it, not what we think about it, but because He offered Himself a sacrifice for sin, we are sanctified and have been so from everlasting. God hath sanctified us and preserved us in Jesus Christ, and in time the Spirit calls us and teaches us who God is and who we are and of our extreme need of a Savior. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, this God man, this precious, holy, wonderful, unique man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart. Well then, are you perfect? I reckon you are. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, you're perfect. You might say, well, I don't feel that way. Well, I don't care what you do or not. If you are. All right.